Morning, everybody. Good to see each and every one of you. And this is kind of the conditions we got today. Didn't know whether anybody'd show up or not. The lesson to have this morning, I don't know whether I give it a title or not. Nature of the two natures, I should say. And we're going to try to answer three questions. Why does a child of God have two natures? Number two, why does a child of God go ahead and keep sinning? Number three, what is our responsibility to these two natures? I'm sure that everyone in this group understands a child of God, that is to say, a believer now has two natures. And our lesson today is to learn the experience and the doctrine about them as existing together in one personality. Much of this doctrine is taught in the book of Romans, and we'll be looking at those. Listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. Every child of God has the experience of the two natures within one personality. However, not every child of God knows the doctrine or understands why he has these two natures. And for them, no real rest, no real peace can be enjoyed by them until they learn from God's word the conflict between these two natures. Too many from the pulpit preach, accept Christ as your Savior, and all your troubles will go away. You hear that on the pulpit, especially on TV. This is a lie of the devil and is direct contrast to what Scripture teaches us. The book of Romans is very clear, and I quote one verse, though we are no longer in our sins, sin is in us. And from the very moment that the new nature is implanted within us, that is to say, the same time that we accept Christ as our Savior, our conscience reveals the presence of the old nature. And then the fight, then the battle, then the conflict between these two began. The scripture of Galatians 5:17 says, these two natures are contrary one to the other, that ye sometimes cannot do the things that ye would. If you will now, please turn in your Bibles to Romans 7th chapter, verses 18 through 23 is all we're going to look at. Romans 7, we're going to look at verse 18 through 23. You ready? For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, you got that? In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me, For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Now here we have the very explicit declaration that the new man, called here inward man, keep that in mind, delights in God's laws while there is, keep in mind, at the same time, that old nature called flesh, which delights in obeying its own law. And then it carries on a constant war against the new nature. Now the question for us today, what is the end result with a conflict like this when the conflict is waged right within us? Let us read the answer. Look at verse 24 and verse 25. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. All of us here can say, thank God he will deliver us. Deliver us all from the conflict. However, the only possible way is either by death or resurrection. And only in our resurrection will death be swallowed up in victory. And then all of us can sing, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And then that will be the end of this warfare, and not until then. So in the meantime, for all of us here at this very moment, our present cry is patience and faith. However, the moment will come. Someday, we can say, as in 1 Corinthians 15th chapter and 50 verse says, and I quote, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory, that through our Lord Jesus Christ, that's the end of that quote. Let us take a few minutes now to observe or examine the conflict that we got between these two natures. Let's all see what it is. First, we see right away the new nature seems to stir up the old nature and makes its opposition all the more bitter. Now, how do I know that? How do we know that? Well, because many, many new Christians, new believers, have been astounded to discover in themselves tendencies and desires, even lusts, and even envy, they never knew existed within themselves. Why? Because they simply carried those desires out in times past, all because they were dead to all sense of their real nature and their awful character. Thank God, a new believer has now a new will and a desire in directing his life. We must remember the old will is still in us, didn't go anywhere, and it does all it can every day to influence us. But it no longer has dominion, that's the word you want to remember, or complete control of us. Now, how do we know this? How can I make a statement like that? Let us take a few moments to see what Scripture outlines for us as to our responsibilities with regard to this old nature that is still in us. Let us now read. If when you're my age, you keep all the Scriptures real close so you don't get mixed up. Go to Romans, the 6th chapter, and we're going to look at verses 8 through 14. Back up a couple pages. That's kind of easy for me. 6th chapter, we're going to read 8 through 14. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Now these verses that I've just read here assure us that the old nature in us has been condemned with Christ's death, and that the old nature can never have total victory over our new nature. However, it remains part of us until our physical death. But our spiritual nature will live on for eternity. I think I heard someone out there, must have been Julius, asking, Stuber, what are we supposed to do with this kind of a conflict? I know he'll want to know. The best answer I believe that I can give him is in the word recognition. Inger, you are always writing and taking notes. Write that word down, will you? Recognition. I can't spell it for you, but put it down in your notes. A believer needs to recognize and be aware that the old nature has nothing good in it. Keep that in mind. The old nature, flesh, has nothing good in it. It's here to stay until death. Therefore, putting the flesh through all kinds of religious practices, counting beads, observing certain days, smearing ashes all over your forehead, nothing whatsoever man can do to change our evil nature. And you must remember, the evil one will continue every day to use the fleshly nature to harass our spiritual nature. Again, I must reiterate that the believer's recognition that this conflict will continue, then it is our responsibility to be aware of it. Now, how does this situation, doesn't this seem a little unfair to the child of God? Why did God create this nasty mess, this nasty condition? Why did he do that? Or did man create it himself? I need not remind anybody here that God created man with a perfect, sinless, fleshly nature and a pure, perfect spirit. And in the beginning, there was no strife. There was no conflict between them. Let us look at a few responsibilities we have to the new nature. If you will, turn in your Bibles. Make it easy for me. Romans 6. You want to look at the fourth verse. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. As a child of God, our walk should be in the newness of life. That is to say, we're now on a different plane of life. No longer are we merely governed by the evil physical life, but now by the spiritual life. Well, what does that mean to the average believer, all of us out here today? I believe that that famous word, Inger, do you recall what that word was? There you are. Now you see why Peter's the leading real estate agent in Peru, Indiana, with a memory like that. Okay, let's go on after that outburst and see what we can get to our, back to our lesson. I believe that during our daily duties, when things just don't always seem to run smoothly, maybe a financial issue, maybe the stock market at the moment, sickness, stress, unruly neighbors, sometimes problems that our own neglect causes. When a believer recognizes that these earthly problems are just temporary, knowing that the evil one, Satan, is the prince and power of the air today, causing much of the heartache that we have, it then becomes the believer's responsibility to be aware and support our spiritual nature in us to defeat the physical evil nature. I know our time's just slipping away, running out. However, I can't stop without mentioning at least one other responsibility we have to our new nature, besides walking in the newness of life while we're still left here in this earthly realm. And it is in connection with worship. Whoop, guess that don't make any difference. Still hear me, can't you? All right. Now, what do we mean by worship? Our physical nature has been nourished from food from with outside source, right? And so does our new nature. And that food is the Word of God. Now, the newborn child of God needs and yearns for the milk of the Word, correct? And there is meat for those that are strong. There's comfort for the morning, and there is help for the weak in the Word of God. Now listen, feeding on the Word of God, not man's word, is the only proper nourishment the new nature can digest. Let us take just for a minute here the old nature, the flesh side, versus our new nature, the spiritual side as to nourishment. Let's compare them. Our physical body has a good appetite. It is a sign of good health, is it not? However, food can be prepared perfectly. The meat can be just carved out just perfectly. Everything set before you in perfect condition. However, the preparer, or let's say the chef, cannot eat it for you. You must do this for yourself. Also, if you do not have an appetite, it is a sign of ill health. Now, let's just look and compare that with the nourishment needed for the spiritual sphere. Our appetite or desire to feed on the Word of God is the measure for our spiritual health. That is to say, it is like a clinical thermometer. Our Bible has been properly prepared for us. It has all the ingredients and nourishment that the spiritual side of us needs. However, God's Word must be consumed by us and digested by us to be of any profit to us whatsoever. The sight of the Bible on the table, on the bookshelf, does nothing for us. For picking it up and rubbing it, hoping that osmosis will feed us spiritually, it will be to no avail. Let us close this study with a few practical conclusions for both the old nature and our new nature. The best practical way that I know of treating the old nature is to starve it by keeping it on a low diet. Now, how in the world can we do this? How can this be done? Remember now, we cannot kill it. We can't kill the old nature, but we can make it very ill. And this feat can only be accomplished indirectly. If we as believers are constantly attending to the claims and the desires and satisfying our heavenly sent new nature, we are indirectly starving the old nature. The bottom line comes down to this. Are we going to be occupied with the flesh or with the spirit? And accordingly, as we sow to the one or to the other, thus shall we reap. Our Bible reveals that after resurrection, there will be set aside a time for judgment, for rewards, or no rewards. A complete criteria used for assessing these awards are not always real clearly spelled out to us. However, just merely speculation on my part, I wonder if some of the criteria used in assessing these awards is how successful were we as believers in controlling the evil physical flesh during our lifetime here on this earth. Did we just talk the walk, or were we able to walk our talk? Hopefully, all of us here continue to recognize our responsibility to control the evil nature which we have in us. so that we can be faithful witnesses for him. Let us close with quoting one scripture verse that I believe fits perfectly well in our quest in controlling our two natures. I will quote Acts 24:16. Now listen. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. I'll read that one more time. And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. I believe if we had that verse or that phrase in our mind each day, I believe it would help us control the old nature, which is part of us. Pete, will you close in prayer for us?
Father, we are indeed thankful that you are mindful of us to the point that we have an opportunity to have a new nature. Pray for each one here that we may continue to grow in the grace of you through this spiritual food, the Word. We may grow in the grace and the knowledge of you continually. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen.